just want to share some scripture with you. And I'd like to reflect for a few moments on Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, which in my Bible is entitled The Road to Emmaus. We're going to share, well, I'm going to read the passage to you. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when they broke the bread. Praise God. So let's just have some moments of reflection on that scripture passage. These two followers of Jesus are obviously not members of the 12 disciples, or the 11 as they are now, because by this stage Judas has taken his own life. They're not members of the 12 that we are known and are named in the Bible. One of them is totally unnamed, so we don't even know his name, and even the one who is named Cleopas appears nowhere else other than in this passage. But these two men on the road to Emmaus, they are just like the rest of the disciples, because these men are obviously struggling with their doubts and confusion over what has happened to Jesus over the last week. I'd like to think just for a moment or two, because I think the issue of faith and doubt is key to how the disciples respond after Jesus' resurrection. For years, I always believed that the opposite of faith was doubt. But recently, I've been challenged to rethink that idea. The dictionary defines faith as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. But I know from my own experience that I still doubt sometimes, even though I have faith. I think it's more accurate to see the opposite of faith as self-sufficiency and entitlement. Let's just unpack those ideas for a moment, those words. A self-sufficient person would say, I've got all I need, or I can provide all that I need. An entitled person would say, I deserve this. I've worked for this. Neither of these attitudes leaves any space for genuine faith in someone else, because it's all about me. So I want to say to you this morning, doubt is not our enemy. I think this passage can help us to see that when doubt is handled constructively, it can help us to discover Christ's presence with us. But how do we handle doubt constructively? Well, I think firstly we need to face reality, as these men do in verses 13 to 24. The events of the last week had their toll on all the disciples, raising uncomfortable questions and shattering dreams. In verse 19, Cleopas describes Jesus as having been a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Before his death, the disciples called him not just a prophet, but the Messiah. But how could they do that now that he was dead? In verse 21, he says, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. In other words, they had hoped that he would free the Jewish nation from Roman occupation and bring in the kingdom of God. But again, how could he do that now that he had been crucified on a cross and laid to rest in a tomb? Then Christ came alongside them and he opened them up to new possibilities with his questions. And his questions were so simple. In verse 17, Jesus says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they answer about all, don't you know all the things that happened? And Jesus just says, what things? And they start to open up about the things that have happened and how they felt about those events in Jerusalem. Jesus opens them up with these questions. If we are prepared to face the reality of our experiences and allow Christ to draw alongside us in those experiences, we can discover new possibilities as well. We know that the reality of our present situation in Britain and across the world is frightening and confusing. But if we're prepared to allow Christ to walk alongside us in these difficult days, we can find new resources for the journey. As well as facing reality, we also need to see the big picture, as these men do in verses 25 and 27. Jesus had consistently told the disciples throughout those 3 years when they were following him and seeing him preach and heal and perform miracles. He had consistently told them that there would be a heavy cost to his mission. But they'd never properly understood this. I wonder whether you remember the teaching series that we were partway through when the lockdown happened in mid-March. I'd called it the Upside Down Kingdom. And through various events in the book of Judges, we saw that the values of God's kingdom are totally opposite to the values of the empires of this world, whether those empires are countries, economic trading blocs, or multinational corporations. God's kingdom has totally different values to the empires of the world in which we live. Jesus picked up this same idea and often told his disciples that the way to true greatness was not through success and gaining a massive following, but rather through serving, suffering, and being prepared to give your life for your beliefs. So with these two men on the road to Emmaus, it is when Jesus breaks the bread, reminding them of what was said at the Last Supper by him, "This is my body, given and broken for you." It's when he says those words that they realise who he is. And of course, the realisation is not just that he was broken, but that he is now risen. From Christ's brokenness, new life sprang up. From the brokenness and hurt of a world in fear and lockdown, God can bring a new sense of reality, which, if it is recognised, I believe can kindle hope and love in a new and amazing way in our society and in our world. Having faced reality and seen the big picture, we can now recognise that Christ is closer than we think, as these men do in verses 28 to 35. They'd expressed great doubts as to who Jesus was and what he had achieved, and yet the Lord Jesus does not give up on them. He makes as though to walk on, to continue on the journey, but when they invite him to stay, Jesus accepts. He chooses to stay and eat with these two followers. And I think the risen Christ shows that he has a sense of humour here, because as soon as they recognise him, he disappears. And I think there's something intentionally humorous there. As soon as they recognise him, he disappears. Interestingly, when these two men reflect on it afterwards in verse 32, they realise that they sort of knew that it was Jesus. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he was explaining the scripture? They sort of knew it was Jesus, but they couldn't quite see it. Similarly, in our times of discouragement, doubt and frustration, the risen Christ is closer than we think. And I want to finish by saying that I do not in any sense believe that God has brought this virus upon the world as a punishment. But I do believe that God is with us in this fearful time, and that God can use it to help humanity to see that despite our great technological advances, we cannot control everything. Let's pray that out of this time of heartache and tragedy, that we human beings, as a whole across the world, that we human beings can develop more humility about our achievements, more solidarity with each other, and greater responsibility towards this world that is a gift for us all to cherish. I pray that you will be able to see and know God's blessing and goodness in your life this week. Let's share a final prayer together. And if you're joining us on Tuesday, I look forward to sharing with you during the drop-in Zoom meeting. Otherwise, let's make sure we stay in touch with each other by text, by email, by any other means during these difficult days. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you that even in these difficult days, when we are unable to see each other physically and be with each other, that we can still connect in ways that technology allows us to do these days. We pray that you'll be with us in the new patterns and new routines of our lives that seem and feel so much more restricted than our usual lives. Many of us are unable to leave the house very often, and many of us are finding that the variety that we love in life is not available to us in the same way. Lord, I pray that we will take opportunity during this time of lockdown to do different things, perhaps to enjoy different activities that we've always said we'd like to do but never got round to doing. but also, Lord, that we'll take opportunity to be with you, to reflect, to meditate, to take time to evaluate and reflect on our lives and on our relationship with you. And Lord Jesus, we are just so grateful that we have you with us, in us, directing us and supporting us in our daily lives. Help us to rely on you more and more, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.